to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee, and on this week's show, we have Dr. Rick Neo. Dr. Neo has a PhD in political science from the University of Hong Kong. He has published widely in the scholarly field of disinformation and is a spiritual teacher with a decade of practicing experience in occult arts and a deep expertise across a wide range of Western and Eastern esoteric, occult, and spiritual arts. His purpose on earth is to raise society's consciousness and assist in the awakening of those who are ready. He ministers daily online on enlightenment and higher spirituality to a global audience. Dr. Neo operates Neo Spirituality, a spiritual consultancy where he works with clients and students using an integrated East, West and Yin-Yang approach. His amazing book, Face to Face with Karma, Your Guide to Fate and the Grand Law of Karma, is available now. Dr. Neo, thank you for being on the Great Awakening show today.
It's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to this for a few weeks now.
I know. It's really, really great. And, you know, I just cannot wait to hear all about all of your divine wisdom on karma, because as a yogini, it's going to be really good. I know it's going to be wonderful. So the first question, Dr. Neo, is really important for me and my audience. Please describe the meaning of karma. What does it mean? What does it mean for you? You know, how do you see it? And for all of us?
Beautiful, beautiful question to get started. So karma, again, it's something that, you know, many masters, scriptures have spoken about in different contexts. And there's so many definitions and so many attempts to explain it. So and then it can get really quite confusing. Mm-hmm. So from the very basic perspective, right, from the fundamental perspective, karma refers to the consequences of our actions. So what we do will generate an equal and opposite reaction. So it's essentially the Newton's, the law of, law of consequence, right, where whatever we do, right, we are going to generate an equal and opposite reaction back to ourselves. So it's a very neutral law. It's a law that doesn't discriminate against what's fundamentally right or wrong. So it's just going to be a consequence of our own actions generated unto ourselves, back to ourselves. So just to give a quick example, right? So karma is something that does not discriminate against good or bad actions. So whatever you do to others, right, that would generate that, you know, that effect back to, unto ourselves. So I was going to say that karma, it's right, so it's fundamentally neutral, and it works because we're all connected on the higher level, right? It works because we're all connected to, I'm sure you have heard of, as a yogini yourself, you've heard of the law of one, where all of us, how we're all fundamentally connected on the highest level. You know, we're all said to be made in the image of God, and we're all connected to what we call God mind or divinity or our creator on the highest level. So essentially, if you do something or you hurt someone, right, it's almost like your right hand is hurting your left hand. It's going to come back to yourself ultimately. So there is a almost like a mechanism to how it works. So it's not just based on righteousness or based on morality. Yeah. No, it is fundamentally ourselves acting on ourselves that will generate the effect.
Yes, and it's like it's the law. It's just a basic. It's a natural law, and every action automatically reacts, automatically causes the receiving of that, because that's what Jesus says: give, and you shall receive. So whatever you give out, you will receive back. So it's up to us, isn't it, as to be the master of our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, so that we don't cause any more karma for ourselves, to make our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions more sacred, more righteous. You know, because when we realize that everyone is one, yeah, that there's only one soul consciousness shared by all living beings, which is the God consciousness within us, the divine flame, we can't make harm upon another, because we'll be making harm upon ourselves.
Perfectly articulated, Joanne. Exactly. So Karma, but the problem in this reality or in this current state of consciousness on Earth is that most people don't realize that that is a thing. Their consciousness is very narrow or very limited to just their own perspective. So they think that they are separate individuals, and their actions, as long as no one else sees it, can get away with these things. So there's this saying in the scripture as well, right? That every single strand of hair is counted. So yes, no one else might appear to be looking, right? But who ultimately is the arbiter of karma? Yourself on the highest level, your own higher self, your own soul is watching, and no one can escape your own judgment on yourself because you are not watching, and you know what is righteous behavior because you are on the highest level connected to every other soul. So completely agree with you. So I think my initial book on karma, right, the purpose really is to shed light on this ancient law that modern society seem to have swept under the carpet or seem to have overlooked, because karma is something that has is the root cause of a lot of suffering in this reality. Because if you unconsciously perpetuate harm to other people, right, and you don't know that it's going to create harm for yourself, right, so you're constantly almost like digging a pit deeper for yourself. By hurting others, you occur some sort of karmic consequence for yourself, and you don't know that you're occurring it, and then you are going to suffer that, and in the trench of suffering, right, it becomes more difficult, more and more difficult for you to pull yourself out of these difficult circumstances that have been occurred by your own actions over not just this lifetime but multiple lifetimes.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Because we come back, we reincarnate on the wheel of samsara, the birth, death, rebirth cycle. That's our unfulfilled desires. That's our karma. Keep us in this perpetual, cycle until we become awakened and we ascend. So, and also people, we can have karma between people. Yeah, so we keep reincarnating with the same people to work out the karma of each other's karma that we lived many lives before, that we keep working out until we get it right, till we turn to the right, we become righteous. Yeah, like Jesus said, throw your net to the right brain, throw, and become righteous, which dissolves the karma.
Beautifully said, Joanne. So the right is actually a very symbolic direction as well. So the right brain, as we know, is associated with what we call the intuitive brain, the feminine brain. And the right side is it's our intuition, which is connected to our soul. But the issue in society is that we don't prioritize the intuitive aspects of ourselves. We always say, oh, everything has to follow logic, everything has to be dictated by the material experience, the scientific, the process. So but exactly what you said, the right side is connected to our soul. So all of us, as you very well know, my dear, we are all connected to the Holy Spirit, to the voice of God. So if we sit in silence, if we pray, meditate, and we call out for assistance, we will be able to receive it if we sit in silence for 2 or 3 minutes afterwards. So that would be the intuitive mind speaking to us, and that intuitive mind has access to global consciousness or divine consciousness. So and the beautiful thing about karma is it is almost like a fail-safe that we created for ourselves as God. So we came on Earth and forgotten our origins,
That's
and
right.
it's through karma, right, that eventually we'll be led into full remembrance of ourselves. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, because after all, life is eternal, right? There's no death. So we try again and again and again until we
We get it
realize that,
right.
okay, exactly what you said, my dear, where we became righteous, where we realized that our actions, because I know how it feels like to be murdered, let me not, and it feels awful, let me not do it onto other people, because that is awful, right? It feels bad. And that is, and then for many souls, right, souls who have chosen to experience the depths of separation, the depths of darkness, the depths of suffering, the depths of depravity and cruelty, right? They would be engaged in these explorations, inflicting cruelty on other people and being inflicted in turn over many lifetimes. But even these souls, right, none of them are damned, because ultimately karma will guide them home. And the moment they call for assistance, angels, masters, guides, God, Holy Spirit, all form of divine assistance will be there to walk them back into the light. So
That's
in that sense, right, karma can sound a bit punitive, right? But ultimately it is, it's nothing more than a fail-safe mechanism whereby God, which is, or rather the awakened God ensures that the sleeping God, which is us, are guided back to the shore.
Beautiful. I love that. And with God's grace, say if we inflict, we are harmful, but if we have recognition in that moment about our harm, to know, if we retract that, if we repent for that, does that dissolve some of the karma, upon that because of our recognition of that?
That's such a beautiful, beautiful question, and it's a key point in spirituality. So,
God's grace.
we know exactly the grace of God. So, we know ultimately the fabric of this reality is love, it's unconditional love. So, you're absolutely right that grace is always available at any moment to every single soul. So, the key point is the soul wants knows that it has erred and that it wants to change. So, and then it has. Taken, he has made an effort to change his behavior to stop, inflicting harm and suffering, and has repented, meaning sought to make up for it and things like that, right? So, that's it, right? So just to give a very quick example, someone who has chose to play the role of a murderer for 100 lifetimes, so the person murdered 100 souls, right? 100%, 100 people. Does that mean the person has to be murdered 100 times back in turn for the person to unwind his karma? The answer, as you know, it's no. The moment the person realizes that, okay, I'm done being a murderer, that's an awful experience, but I've awakened now. So the person probably has to, experience losing his life for a few lifetimes, 3 or 4 lifetimes.
Yeah,
But
experience that.
once his exactly beautiful one, but once his consciousness has clicked, like, oh, like I am beyond this, or this is not me. I am love. I'm not
I
an
could
murderer.
never harm another again.
Exactly, beautifully said. Then grace would come and almost like allow the person not to unwind or to not have to walk the exact path that he has dug his way down, right?
Yes.
So yes. But the key point here is, regardless of whether we believe that grace is automatic, which is the Christian perspective, or
Yes.
regardless of whether we think that grace has to be earned, which is the Hindu perspective, right?
Yes.
Both actually work hand in hand. Yes, we have to earn it, but as we earn it, it becomes automatic. So there's no contradiction here, like. We still have to make an effort to deserve the grace that is love, which is God's love
Yes.
for each of us.
And learn from our respect, repent for that harm that we did. Yes. Wow, that's so fascinating. And your wonderful book, Face to Face with Karma. In your book, you insist that karma is more reliable than gravity. Can you explain how this can impact our day-to-day lives?
Right. So we from a very scientific, paradigm-driven society, or we always think that, science is the golden rule, right? So and it wouldn't make sense for a spiritual law to be respected or to be a law even if it's something that is not hard, or if it's something that is not cannot be that's something that we cannot rely on in our day-to-day life. So to give a quick example, right? If you use your hand to hit the wall, right? Instantly, you'll feel pain when you punch it. So that is how sure karma is on the highest level, where every action you take indeed is recorded or is observed by yourself and will generate an opposite and equal reaction. So this is the highest fundamental premise, but how does it actually apply into our experience, right? Can differ a little bit. Because as you know, right, we have seen, so-called evil people in this world seeming to have, unlimited luck, unlimited lives.
Yes.
So
Yes.
how this works, right? So how this works is that we all are on Earth in order to explore experiences of separation. So if her soul has decided to explore how it feels like to be separate from each other, completely go into the dark, right? Then karma will be delayed a lot for that soul, because the purpose of this reality is to allow ourselves, souls, to explore separation from God and from each other.
Yes.
So if you think about it, right, on heaven, right, we cannot explore separation
No.
because we know we are all connected. There's nothing but
It's
love,
only
So
oneness.
it's only
Yeah.
exactly right. So in a way, it can seem a bit boring, or a bit not say boring necessarily, but that our souls want new experiences in order to experience and to learn and to expand our consciousnesses. So Earth is one, as you have you definitely know. So they call it like a 3D reality or 4D reality, where it's a lower in consciousness reality, where we don't remember that we are all connected. We don't remember clearly that we are part of God. So in this context, right, we get to explore separation. And therefore, if a soul has decided that, part of his soul mission and plan is to to go into the depths of darkness, to hurt other people, to steal, to exploit from as many people as possible, to take money from them, things like that, right? Then yes, while the person is doing committing such acts, right, the person is incurring karma, but because the purpose, the soul is still in it's still exploring separation, or it still wants to do more of these dark acts, right? Karma will not immediately be heaped onto the soul. It'll be
Yes.
accrued, and then eventually, when the soul is ready to awaken, it will be unwind. It'll be required to be unwound. So this works in a very I mean, our creator is divinely brilliant, and this works in a brilliant way, because if the person immediately receives its karma, right, immediately the person will be guided to stop acting in a dark way or evil way. So and therefore the soul's free will be denied, because
Yes, the free will be
will.
denied. Yes, it can't. The beings, the higher beings, cannot not come into our free will. The lords of karma cannot change our free will, influence it. It's up to us.
Exactly, you're absolutely right. Free will is sacred, because it's literally the will of God to exploit. We are all part of God, so in a sense, we are of Him, or we are acting on His behalf in that sense. So yeah. So if karma becomes very obvious for any of us on earth, can you think about it? If I steal someone money from someone, right, instantly my money is stolen the next day, right? Then I'll be very quickly be able to understand, I should not do it, and therefore my ability to explore stealing from other people, right, is halted, because no, I cannot do it, because I don't want to be stolen from. But there are many souls on earth who came here specifically to explore the depths of separation, or going to
Yes.
steal not just once, but from so many people all the time, and that is their
Yes.
experience that they must be allowed to explore. And of course, as you very rightly mentioned, Joanne, free will is paramount. So even though the person wants, so even as the person wants to hurt other people, right, the person who is receiving hurt on the other end, the victim, right, is also an act of free
Receiving
will. So
exactly, and receiving the karma that
exactly.
it needs to because of its actions in a previous life. Yeah.
Beautiful. You are absolutely right. So it's receiving karma. So it could act as the victim and then the perpetrator in this lifetime. And not only that, so there are many souls on earth, right, who are just ignorant, or like we are choosing to vibrate in the perspective of a victim. For example, because of programming in society, we have to listen to the government, we are all the obedience programming, that we have chosen, oh, we are powerless, we must rely on these experts and things like that. So because of that, right, these souls willingly or out of ignorance chose to act as a victim, and therefore they are going to attract experiences of victimhood. So there will be these exploiters who would vibrate as an exploiter and ma be matched against these victims. So even so on from this perspective, right, we also see that so that free will is involved even if someone is so-called victimized in a situation, because if we do not vibrate at the level of, for example, victim of like as a someone who's in poverty and things like that, right, we will not be able to attract experiences of poverty to ourselves.
Yes.
So but absolutely, the law of karma is it's ultimately it is something that it's infallible. It's something that we can absolutely rely on if we broaden our perspective, beyond one lifetime, and we take
Yes.
a from a soul level perspective.
That's from a soul level perspective. That's beautiful. Yeah, that's really important, isn't it?
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato. Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the ukhealthradio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, lesser karma and greater karma. How does it play out in our relationships? Because that's what I said before about, you know, we come here to work out the karma between the man and the woman, you know, between in our relationships. So, yeah, what does that mean, lesser and greater karma?
Right. So this is an interesting distinction. It's very important to understand as well. So lesser karma would govern or would be, what would be categorized as lesser karma would be minor acts of darkness. So, for example, right, if I were to hurt someone or if I were to cheat on someone, right, then I'll be cheated on in turn. Pretty straightforward, you know, one for one kind of like what you do is what you get, what you give is what you get kind of cycles of karma or of actions that would repeat themselves until the person have realized that, okay, I'm done with that. That would be lesser karma. But greater karma is a bit more different. So greater karma will refer to issues like, for example, the person being born with a handicap. So, or the person being born with like, you know, mental handicap, being born blind or things like that. So yes, these would be larger soul lessons that the person have chosen to undergo so that the his consciousness would be put to the test. And because of the test, because of the experience, become so much more wiser, so much bigger.
Yes, overcome that a very, very, very difficult life lesson that we chose when we was in the soul, as a soul, before we reincarnated.
Wow. Yes, absolutely right. So this greater karma, right? So much of them, a lot of them, right? It's almost like a soul lesson. So it's not a lesson, but soul challenge rather than something you have to pay back for. No, it's not like the person hurt the person and then the next life he has to be born a handicap. No, like the person willingly chose to experience a lifetime of a particular difficulty as compared to most people, and it is a test for him and it's a challenge for him so that he can overcome and become like a far greater teacher soul, far greater master soul. So these greater karma, right?
Yes.
I think I remember Edgar Cayce spoke about this as well. So he said something like, generally it's hard to overcome it, or it's hard to unwind it, or rather to you have to accept it and work with it rather than try to learn a lesson from it, because there's very little, you know, way for the person to completely heal the greater karma in their life. But rather the point is to work with it, to accept it, to love it, and to use that as a tool to achieve even more.
Yeah.
So that is the purpose of greater karma. So for many souls, okay, again, it doesn't apply to every scenario, but there will be souls who have chosen greater missions and more handicap, more difficulties, and so this the purpose of discussing this is to give them the knowledge that, hey, again, it is free will, and again, it is not, you know, you're not cursed by God, you know, you didn't even draw a poor hand. It's all self-selected, and there is much love and wisdom and light behind this difficulty that you're facing.
Yes, and many of them do come back as masters. They choose to come back again as ascended masters because it was such a heavy, they overcome such a burdensome karma, you know, that was placed upon them. It's just, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Yes. And it's not, karma doesn't punish, it's not punishment. It's just a natural law. Everything, you know, what every action automatically causes its reaction. It's just a natural law that is in our realm, you know, and that's why we are here, you know, to overcome it and to realize about what it's not just our actions, our thoughts and feelings, words, you know, they can go out. And I remember I did many, many interviews with a wonderful professor, And he has done over 500 near-death experiences, right? And the most important thing that when he interviewed all these people who had all these near-death experiences, they all said, when we went over into the light, the most important thing was no person judged us. We judged ourselves, but it was how much joy we gave to others and how much harm we did. Because when we hurt one person with thought, feeling, word, or action, it didn't just stop at that one person. That one person then hurt another person, then hurt another person, then hurt another person because they were hurt. And it went out as a ripple effect. And so you have hurt thousands through that one bad thing. This is why it's so important to be, make our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions sacred and righteous. Because at that moment of our own judgment, it's wow, isn't it?
This is it's huge, and it's very it's startling to think of it this way. So I believe the professor you might have, because I've done a
Hopeless.
few I've looked into a few near many near-death experience cases as well, and yes, the testimony has been very, very consistent. It's always going to white light, it's always review, right? A life review, and we
The life review. We review ourselves. Yeah, which is very,
exactly.
very profound.
Yes. And then there's always this sense of yes, a sense of huge regret about or not seeing things from the other person's perspective, or not seeing things not yeah from a broader perspective, and being absorbed or being controlled by our lower nature. So in order to prevent, or to how can we apply that into this reality, right? I think the key thing is to be extremely mindful when we have emotional surges. So whenever we have an emotional reaction towards something, right, it's always the lower body trying to react in a certain way.
React.
So and very important, exactly, right? It's all very important to pause and to notice that you have emotional surge, and that is your lower nature, your Lucifer, your Satan, whatever you want to call it, seeking to act or react in a certain way. But many of us don't realize that we actually have a choice. We have a choice on whether we want to follow through the option given to us by the lower nature, which is Saturn or whatever you call it, the lower body lah. Or we can pause and say, hey, thank you for this option, but I actually don't have to choose you. I'm the watcher who watches the animal, the body's reaction, and I can choose whether I want to follow the body's reaction, or I can follow what we call the voice of the Holy Spirit. I can choose the path of love. So this is why Christ always tells us repeatedly, right? Life is all about choices, and we only have two choices in this world, right? Either we serve mammon or we serve God. We choose love or we choose fear. And it's okay, if we do not choose love, we fail to choose love, right? The key point is to choose once again, try again, try again.
Again, yeah.
We are never condemned, right? So, but yes, the key thing is to pause, to create that space for a pause where we can, okay, I'm feeling pissed off about something, and
Yeah.
my body's angry about something, and then, okay, my body is reacting this way, perhaps because of some trauma, or perhaps it's because it's a natural reaction, or perhaps because the body's afraid that the person will hurt you, and again, the body's not. It's a tool of separation. The body doesn't know oneness, so the body would always act in ways that are hurtful, that are selfish. That are
The
that's selfish.
ego, it's the ego personality coming up, isn't it? Yeah.
You are right. Ego is that word. So the ego is always reacting in separation, in selfishness. So and yes, and that's the point of the ego, right? We created, as
Yeah.
sons and daughters of God, we created ego so that we can have an experience of separation.
That's right.
So and so it's not about denying the ego or killing the ego, but it's about understanding or transcending it and realizing, it's giving me exactly what I wanted it to give me, which is a way to play in darkness. But as we have been talking about, right, there'll be a point in every soul's life where we decide that, okay, it's time to be done with playing with darkness. And that's when the whole awakening process begins,
Yeah.
literally the name of your show, where you realize that, I have a choice. I do not need to automatically follow the voice of the ego. I can pause and choose love. I can pause and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? Show me the truth.
Yeah.
Remind me of my higher nature. And then from that place, right, you choose whether you want to lash out, react, or you want to okay, forgive, or maybe it's about protecting yourself, So it all really stems from
Yes.
this sacred choice. And again, that's why, even in Buddhism and Hinduism, right, there's a lot of emphasis on training through our mindfulness skills through meditation, because the more we meditate, the more we realize that we are not the voice in our head, which is the ego voice. We are the one who watches.
The watcher, the
observer. The observer.
So,
your apps, yeah,
the self-consciousness behind it all, you know, that's why we can see where we are reacting. We can see where we're not reacting with love, you know, and we can see where that ego, because ego, we can use it as a tool. You know, it's a tool that we use to, you know, overcome that darkness within. And it's our choice, isn't it? Every morning we wake up, we can either go with the ego or we can go with our divine self. It's our choice. Yeah. Because there's only one stream. There's only one stream, and that's God's stream coming through us, the divine love light energy. There is no devil energy. There's only one energy. There's only one story. There's only one power in the world. And it comes through us for us to use for either good or evil. That's it, isn't it?
You're right, absolutely. So the voice of God is the same voice within each of us. And the trick about the voice of God is that it doesn't speak, it doesn't override the ego. So it will only come after we have quietened down and after we have ignored the voice of the ego. Because again, our will is to explore separation, and therefore God will not contravene that, will not be like, okay, you know, blah, you have to listen to my will. No. Only after we ignore the voice of the ego, you know, we calm down, you know, we go into silence for 30 seconds to a minute, right? Then we are able to detect, not through our head, but through our heart,
yes,
what is the right thing to do, or what we should, what we are guided to, how we are guided to behave or to act.
That's so important. So when that happens, stop what you're doing, bring your hand on your heart, breathe into the presence, and allow your heart energy to fill you up, and that will, with the breath, and that will calm them angry, you know, emotions, and then you can come from the heart and not the head or the ego mind.
Exactly. So, and there's this little trick that I like to do personally, and I've shared with many of my students and clients, and they have all really, really enjoyed this practice. So it's really a simple one where in the morning, you make your, in your prayer, do a simple prayer where, okay, you will choose either, so you'll call on God, you call on the Holy Spirit and be like, okay, Holy Spirit, God, Father, Mother, God, what would you have me do today? You know, guide me and lead me. So what you're doing is aligning your will with God's will. That's what the ultimate surrender prayer, right? Not my will, but thy will. So you're calling on God, the highest, the being who loves you unendingly and is who loves everyone around you unendingly. So the being who can only orchestrate perfection in your life, you will be like, okay, Father, Mother, God, speak to me, guide me. I choose to surrender and follow you today. So when we express with our mind or with our voice such a demand, such a request, right, miracles start to be orchestrated around us. Because again, what is the key teaching in the Bible? They always say, knock and you door shall open, right? Ask and you shall receive. If you do not seek, we will not get, we will not find. So the key point is the action, the verb. So we need to actually make the request, to ask for guidance, you know, to pray, to invite divine intervention in
That's
our lives.
Right.
But the key thing is, again, in society, I would like to really quickly raise this point, because the modern church, right, we have there's lots of corruption going on there, and the key teaching that hasn't been passed down successfully is that we have been taught to pray to an external power.
That's
like,
right.
Oh, you know, there's a God outside of us.
That's right. And also, Dr. Neil, they say in the religions, and I've got a few friends that do this, they give it all to God. No, God's going to sort it out. I'm going to pray, and God's going to look after me. God's going to sort it out. No, I understand about the grace of God. We have to do it with God, but ultimately God has given us free will in this separation world of duality, and it's up to us to use God's good energy through us so that God experiences through us, because we are God, in this realm. And that's where religion makes it wrong, because they don't know that we are God. They pray to someone external. They go to a priest to have secondhand information of the dogma and of the experience, when I believe that spirituality will overtake organized religion, because religion is someone else's experience of God, yeah? A priest's experience, a pastor's experience, someone else's experience. But spirituality is having our own soul experience with the divine within, yeah? And that's why it's going to overtake it. That's why you can't say God's going to look after it. If you don't make the action, if you don't become better, if you don't try, you can't leave it up to God to sort your problems. This is where free will.
Oh my God, Joanna. Beautiful, beautiful, so beautiful articulated, Joanna. So yeah, I'm totally with you. So it reminds me a lot of the Kabbalah story. There's this tale in the Kabbalah, right? It says that this farmer was just praying. He was in a flood. There was a huge flood, and this farmer was been very devout, so he was just praying for him to be saved. And then when the policeman came and tried to save him, he said, "Oh no, don't worry, God will save me." And the fireman came and tried to save him. He said, "Oh no, leave me alone, God will save me." And then eventually he died. And he went to heaven. He was like, "God, how come you didn't save me? I've worshipped you all my life." Then God was like, "Who do you think sent the policeman and fireman after you?" So it's we are responsible for doing our part, to work with God to achieve actualization miracles in our life. We cannot just, "Oh, everything, okay, please, God will take over, the God will save me." Yes, God will save you, but how does He save you? He saves you through giving you instructions through the Holy Spirit, and you take action and you don't worry about the result. That's what they call karma yoga in Hinduism as well, where we are only responsible for actions that we take. We are not responsible for the outcome. The outcome is up to God. He will handle the rest of the karma.
That's God's grace for you. That's
Exactly.
God's grace for you taking the action and and acting upon the idea that you had when you sat in meditation and the divine intelligence came to you.
Exactly. Indeed. So and I'm totally with you as well. The part about the religion, there've been. I guess it's almost like a not a coercion necessarily, but like almost like a propaganda or brainwash or like
Yes,
this
conditioning.
institution conditioning. You're right, absolutely conditioning, where we give our power to things outside of
Give
us.
your
Oh,
power away.
we are powerless, right? Oh, I'm a victim. Please, I need a savior to save me. And what happens when you vibrate a level of a victim? You're going to attract experiences of
Of
victimhood. So,
victimhood.
exactly. So it's exactly what we're talking about just now. We talked about karma, right? So you are going to be a willing victim of being abused by the church, being exploited by the church, being exploited by the government, being exploited by people who are younger souls who are ex who wants to explore how it feels like to abuse other people. You will be their willing victims.
That's right.
So, but the beautiful thing is we are entering the age of Aquarius now. So Aquarius is we are exiting the age of Pisces. And what is Pisces? Pisces is the age of religious delusion. So the age
And
of all
looking for someone to save us, like a pastor, a guru, but this age is the age where we go in to find our inner guru and our inner Buddha. Because in the Lost Gospel of Mary Magdalene, there's three words that she says. It's a metaphysical gospel. It's beautiful. And they kept it from us. They have it in the Vatican somewhere, I'm telling you, but they don't want us to read it. And it says her most important words were, "You save yourself. You save yourself with God's grace." You've got to have God's grace. You've got to know God's grace, meaning that you put God first in everything because we are God. But you have to realize about your own divinity to be able to do that, and have that oneness. But in the end, you save yourself. No one else is going to come. As you said, there's going to be loads of boats and loads of ladders to help you. But if you don't save yourself, then God can't raise you up.
That almost brought me to tears. I love I have read the gospel as well. I think it's available in certain like archives
There's
online.
only
So
fragments of it, yeah.
fragments of it, right? Yes. Beautiful. Absolutely love Mary Magdalene. She's epitome of divine feminine and 100%. We save ourselves. So they always talk about the second coming of Christ, right? Who do you think will be the second coming of Christ?
We are.
You, ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Christ
Like our
consciousness
Christ
within.
within.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So but there'll still be people who are like, oh, waiting for the third temple to be built, waiting for
Yeah.
Antichrist and things like that. So and it's
The rapture.
fine, there'll always be younger souls who are seeking to explore that separate the experience of separation, of being weak, of being powerless. And it's all part of the beautiful game on earth, and that's okay. But for mature souls, for advanced teacher souls like yourself, myself, we're done with the playing the victim. We're done playing small, and that's why your work so important about spreading the truth. And the beautiful thing about spreading the truth, my dear Joanna, is that people who listen to it will feel it. So it doesn't make any logical sense. Oh, isn't Mary Magdalene some prostitute, or isn't like blah blah blah? Like, isn't that what the church has taught us, or what the education or society has taught us? But their heart, within their heart, it would resonate, and it will plant
A seed.
the seeds of truth exactly that we are spreading, that will take root within them, and you will bloom when the time is right. So
That's what
but
Jesus
we do
said.
what we can.
Yeah. Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free." The truth is just, it's just so beautiful.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
No. And we talked about dismantling the karmic debt. What is the difference between the karmic debt and spirit? What does spiritual bypassing mean in your book?
Right. Okay, very interesting topic. And spiritual bypassing is something that will become even more prevalent as we enter a more spiritual age in Age of Aquarius. So spiritual bypassing, right? I used to grapple with what it means exactly as well, but I have finally come full circle and I've integrated that. So what exactly does it refer to would be someone who discovered spirituality, and then someone who would think that, okay, spirituality is all about love and light. Let me just pray away my pain, or let me, when I feel pain or suffering, right, let me just ignore it. You know, there's not love and light. I don't resonate with it. Let me just block it. Let me just ignore it. Let me just not even think about it. So that is what spiritual bypassing means to me, at least, where you think that spirituality is just, so what it means is that you're using spiritual terms like love, light, oneness to bypass the need to engage in lower emotions.
And to bypass the need to go into your darkness, to look at your shadow. You don't want to look at that. It's all love and light, you know, but we don't live in a world like that, do we? We live in a light and dark world, you know. You've got to embrace
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So funny. but you're right. So it's about those, you know, so-called gurus or more, at least those who have read a lot of spiritual texts, like they think that, oh, spirituality is about oneness, right? Then everything that's not oneness is not spiritual. It's unspiritual, it's undivine, or it's just low vibration. Let me avoid the low vibration. So that, again, is creating what we call a separation, right? There's a high, there's a low. So and that is a issue that the ego would jump on, because the ego is a tool of separation. So therefore, I'm high vibration, I'm better than you. You know, I'll avoid you, or you're not as good as me. You know? So that is what, you know, all the issues that is associated with spiritual bypassing. So the key about spiritual bypassing, right, is to look at all the dark emotions and to transmute them. So how do we transmute them? It's simple. It's to realize that you are the one who created dark emotions for an experience. Like, again, the ego, right? The negative emotions are always tied to the ego. And therefore, you do not be afraid of it. You do not run away from it. You just say, okay, I created this out of exploration, out of love, out of joy. And is it time for me to integrate it back, to uncreate it when I'm done playing with it? So do not be disgusted at people who are hurt, who are exploring darkness. So someone who has not spiritually bypassed, right, they would love, or they will not be, they'll be very compassionate towards younger souls who are exploring darkness, because they know that it's nothing more than an experience, a journey. Whereas those who have tried to bypass or avoided the darkness, right, they'll be like, oh, they'll be very judgmental. They'll be like, oh, you're low vibration, you're disgusting, you know, you are, how can you be like that? And the irony is they're actually denying that within themselves.
They didn't look at themselves. Because we're all at a different evolution, aren't we? You know, that's you know, everyone is learning. Everyone is a younger soul or an older soul, or that's an amazing, that's wonderful. Yes, spiritual bypassing. You can't get away with it. It's karma will always come back, you know. They will always come back and make you look at the darkness. So maybe you're on the wrong path, and then something will happen. You'll have an accident. You'll be in bed. Or you get an illness or something, and it will stop your path, and it will make you stay in that place to look at your darkness, to look at your life, and then go on to a different direction. There's always something, isn't it?
100%. I've seen so many cases, hundreds of cases where the person has been ignoring their lessons or ignoring the voice of God, such that something has to be orchestrated in a major way for them to wake up. For example, health issues is a very common one, liver issues, stomach issues, skin issues, or handicap or accident. So, and then it's always very important if we suffer a health issue, right, to try to understand the symbolism behind it. And there's always an esoteric symbolism behind what element you're suffering. We can look at the chakras, it's closest to, you can, you can look into the symbolism left or right, you know, when it's a leg injury, then perhaps something like you're walking the wrong path, or if it's a right arm injury, something like you're doing something wrong, or you're taking too much action instead of trusting God. So it's always very accurate, but it requires us to actually notice these things and also to realize that there actually is a meaning to it. So it's not about, oh, I got an injury because I got hit by a car. That's the reason why. No. The hitting by a car is the mechanism by which you are delivered the injury, but the purpose behind the injury is something else altogether.
Yes, that's right. It's so important. There's always a reason. That's why, you know, we are hardest on others, but we're hard on ourselves. That self-sabotage. And I believe, you know, coming into this earth plane, this duality, we're experiencing all those things that are not love within ourselves, so that we understand about what self-love is.
Profound, and absolutely. There's this saying in the Quran, not Quran, in one of the Sufi scriptures, he says something like, God allows darkness because God wants to show what is divinity. It's only through God, darkness, can divinity be demonstrated.
That's right. Only through the darkness can we see the light. You know, we have to have that other. If there was no evil, we would not know about goodness. And, you know, in Genesis, and I say this every time, but in Genesis it says, God says, I am God. I create everything. I create the goodness, good, and I create evil. There's only one stream. And we choose to use it for the either good or evil, you know.
Wow. Well, that is very, very deep. And it summarizes our experience on earth. Like, we have a playground and we can play in darkness, we can play in light, but ultimately, right, all roads lead back to heaven. It's just a matter of which road you want to take. Do you want to take the road that drags you through the mud and then go into decades and decades of suffering, or do we just want to follow the voice of God? You know, David Hawkins called it the straight and narrow path to God. We can follow that as well.
That's right, the straight and narrow. Yeah. Right. I love that. That's so beautiful. Wow. I've got all my questions on here, but we've actually said them all. We've discussed them all. It's beautiful, you know. Yeah, we really have. And where can we read your wonderful book, Face to Face with Karma? I mean, it's just beautiful.
Right. So if any of your readers are interested, you can look on my website. So www.neo-spirituality.com, or you can just find me on Twitter. So I'm very active on Twitter every day.
Right.
So again, there's no coercion. You know, we're all here just to share knowledge, share love, and to, you know, this thing I love as well, right? To walk each other home. We're all just here to walk each other home. Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Dr. Neo, honestly, your wisdom on karma just really taught me so much. And I just want to say thank you for all of, you know, your beautiful knowledge and your beautiful spirituality, and thank you for bringing it to us and giving us all that light, you know, and thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you, my dear Joanna. Joanne, you have, I love your energy. It was so healing to talk to you. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me on your show. And I have nothing but the best of time and nothing but great, great love for you and for your journey and for your work. So thank you for doing this show and doing your part, you know, to serve God. So nothing but love. And again, it's such a good time. Thank you for your love. And I really, really love your energy. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Neo.